Brother Wade asked me to teach Sunday school this morning to fill in for Brother Bob. And I just want y'all to remember Brother Bob and his family, Sister Monica's dad, and everything. Just keep them in your prayers as they travel this weekend. And any decisions they have to make, you know, it's just a tough time they're going through, I think, right now. I haven't heard any updates, but, you know, just keep remembering them in your prayers. If y'all can start that PowerPoint back there, Brother Anderson. If you've ever heard me teach Sunday school, I pretty much always teach the same thing. It's seek ye first the kingdom of God. And that's one thing that's near and dear to my heart. It has been for many years. And I usually approach it from different angles, but it's all more or less the same thing. Because I know as Christians, we can become kind of complacent. And it's been on my mind for a lot of different reasons here lately that, you know, starting back into flying airplanes, I got real rusty for all those years of not flying. And it reminded me, because I've been doing these, working on these landings, trying to perfect them. There's never a perfect landing. You're never done as a pilot trying to land a plane. You're always trying to make these little course corrections, I call them, you know, just little bitty adjustments, and never stop fighting to get it just right. Same thing when you're driving a car. Any of you that drive cars, you know, you're always maybe subconsciously doing this. When you leave today, just watch your hands while you're driving down the road and see if you're not doing this. You're always making these little course corrections trying to stay in the road. And you just get so used to doing it, you don't even realize you're doing it. But you never stop trying to do right and to stay in your lane. You never stop trying to do right as a pilot and landing that plane right. And as a Christian, we should never stop being seeking God every single day and making these sort of little course corrections along the way. There's always more room for growth, always more room for seeking more of God. Complacency is a killer. That's something that thought came to my mind here recently. Never become complacent. So, this lesson is about open channels. And as you see here, I've got this picture of a river. And God is this eternal life, this source of eternal life. It's never ceasing. There's always more we can draw from Him. He's constantly flowing, but we're the ones that cut off that flow of eternal life and those blessings. He's so full of benefits. Brother Richie Douglas was preaching recently about the benefits of being a Christian and benefits of serving God. There's so many benefits in that, healing and salvation, of course, and eternal life, but so many benefits that go just unending. But if you don't seek God and don't keep those channels open, the channels between you and God, you can stop that flow. Brother Wade preached recently, I guess, well, it wasn't that recent, about logs in a river. You know, that river will flow, but if you get logs in the river, it stops that flow. So go to the next slide, please. So what I'm talking about in a nutshell is spending time with God. That's Brother Bob's phrase for it, spending time with God. It's anything you do in your private time with the Lord. And these are just some of the things that are that I use basically in my daily walk: read the Bible, pray, listen to and read sermons, come to church, fellowship, meditate, and worship. And just curious, in the back, can y'all see all that? Pretty good? Okay. This is my first time doing it up here, so I didn't know if I needed to maybe next time make it bigger. Anything you do on your daily basis to spend time with God. There are things in Christianity that are automatic, you know, and then there are things that are not. And this is one of those things that are not automatic. You taking time out of your day is not automatic. You make yourself do this. This is something you have to, if you want to say routine, whatever, just do it. You set aside some time every day and spend time with God. Doing all of these things. This is basically a format that I follow every night when I drive the truck. I start out listening to a sermon. If I get tired, I switch to gospel music and start praising the Lord. That's number six there, worship. I spend time in prayer and meditation, thinking on these things, the things we hear preached and all that. And there's no substitute for eating our daily bread as a Christian. There's no substitute for that. So Brother Branham talked about drinking and pushing out. You know, there's all these benefits of God, but you have to drink in the Word of God. Then you push out the healing and all the other things that you have need of in your journey. All right. Next slide, please. So getting in the Spirit. I'm going to try to speed through these quotes because I don't have a whole lot of time and I've got a lot of notes. You know, stagnated water gets in the little wiggle tails in, and that's what's the matter with the church today. A little wiggle tail, a little wiggle here, a little wiggle out there. everything. Days of miracles have passed. No such thing as divine healing. Can't sit still 5 minutes in a meeting. Oh my goodness. Stagnated water, beaver dam, blow it out. Amen. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, where sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stain. And next slide. This is from the same sermon, Getting the Spirit. The prophet, he's talking about the prophet Elisha. Okay, Elisha, the 2 Kings 3. The prophet said, get down there and dig all them logs out. Well, I tell you then, prophet, should we go back and have another mighty rushing wind? Nope. Should we start another ladder rain? Nope, nope. Just clean out the channel. That's all you have to do. We got all the people. Just clean out the channel. People's all right. Get the channel cleaned out so the Holy Spirit can come in. All your fanaticisms and isms, everything else in the church, clean the thing out. The rock's already smitten. The waters are fresh, running. But the ecclesiastical system has dammed up the stream. Next slide. And I'm just trying to skip through this because I don't have... the main quote I want to get to is the next one. So not a new system we need. We need clean the system we got. Get all the logs out of it. There's differences. The fussing, stewing, and things like that, get away from them. The water will go to flowing again. There'll be love. Okay. Now, this is a quote. This is one that... we play a lot for our girls. We listen to it a lot at home. I really love this tape. If you get a chance to go back and listen to it, come follow me. And it's just so surreal to hear Brother Branham's tone of voice, and it's just so quiet, and you hear like fans or something running in the background. It's just very, very real. I just love it. And what he's talking about here is a really dear thing to me. But there's one thing that you just don't inherit. You've got to accept it. That's eternal life. And you only do that by following Jesus, by a born-again experience. Don't neglect that. Little story one time. I heard of a man who was, he was poor, and he always wanted to. It's a little fairy story-like. It always stuck with me, though. And one day he picked a flower, and the flower was magic. And the flower answered to him and said, you've been poor all your life. He said, now ask what you will, and it'll be given to you. It's like Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, ask what you will. But how does that word get in us? It's not some magic. It's by daily reading the Bible and praying and seeking the Lord. I don't know any other way. He said, that's yonder's mountain would be opened up and I could go in there and find the gold in the mountain. Well, he said, you have to take me with you wherever you go. I know that's really small. That's going to be hard to see. I'm sorry about that. You have to take me with you, so wherever I am, then you can ask what you will. He walked to the mountain, and the mountain opened up, and he went in. The shelves were full of gold and diamonds. This is kind of like eternal life. When you first come to eternal life, there's this great mountain that just opens up to us. It's great, full of all these blessings of God. They're speaking in tongues and good feelings, and there's anointings of to do all kind of things, all this power and wonders and just signs, wonders, miracles, all these great things. But the main thing is eternal life. And he ran and grabbed a great big gem, and he said, I must go and show this to my friends, and now I'm a rich man. I have everything now. I must show this. And so the flower spoke, but said, you forgot the main thing. So he runs back, and he picks it up, says, well, maybe I'll get a piece of gold. I'll get a piece of silver. And so he said, I'll hurry out and tell the people how rich I am. See what I've got. And he got to the door, and the flower said, but you forgot the main thing. So he runs back and he says, and here we have all kinds of materials. I'm going to stop there for a second. There are anointings of God to do these things, and that is God, okay? I'm not condemning that and saying that's not of God, speaking in tongues and all that. But so many times people stop and build a denomination around that and say, well, I'm just going to set up shop right here. This is a wonderful thing God's done. I don't want to forget it. So I'm going to build up kind of a fortress around this. This is God. This is all of God. It's all there'll ever be of God. That's where you're wrong, because God keeps moving forward. He keeps moving this fountain that just keeps flowing, and you don't want to stop that. And by the way, too, we live in an age of distractions. This is a big problem. This is a kind of a side note, but all these distractions of just natural life, of anything that gets between you and your time with the Lord is a distraction. And you just got to put that down for a while and say, but I got to remember the main thing, this flower of eternal life. The thing that started me in this journey in the first place. When I came to eternal life, just never stop that. Keep that growing. Keep that moving. So he runs back and he says, in here we find all kinds of materials. And he picks up a stone. And he said, I'll go take this and show the people what kind of a stone this mountain is made out of, so I can find the way back to it. And he started out the door, and the flyer said, "For the final time, you have forgot the main thing." And he said, "Oh, shut up." See, he didn't want to hear anymore, forgot the main thing. So he ran out the door, and he said, "The door's closed behind him, the flower on the inside." The main thing was the flower. Like Peter said when he got on that mountain of transfiguration, and he saw the Lord there, and Moses and Elijah, he said, "Let's build 3 tabernacles. You know, we want to kind of set up shop here, you know, build a denomination." But no, the main thing is the eternal life. And then the next slide, please. Same sermon, just a little bit further down. "He was the transmitter. He said, 'He that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, has eternal life. Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath eternal life.'" Now the word went from a transmitter, said one day, "Verily I say unto you, if you say to this mountain, be moved and don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you said, and come to pass, you can have what you said." Now if you just be the station to pick that up by some control on the inside, faith, it'll move right into the cycle of God, the new birth, and be born again. Then you'll always be in contact, hear that voice, always warn you, and the danger is along. When things are wrong, things are going wrong, it'll always be warning you. And then instead of somebody being like that rich young boy we're speaking of, be man like Apostle Peter or Paul, somebody that wants the one souls for Christ. All right, now Brother Branham also talks about open flues in the greatest battle ever fought. And I'm still basically on the same subject. I'm just talking about these channels of daily Bible reading and prayer, but I'm still, you know, it's similar to what Brother Branham is talking about, because our mind is a womb, and we have to sow that word down. It's a very natural thing so that the supernatural can take place. It's just simply daily Bible reading prayer to sow down the word so there's something there for God to quicken. Okay. I don't know how any other process that it can take place by unless you just really sow it down good in your field and make yourself ready, and then God will come quicken it. So God will heal you right in this atmosphere of the Holy Ghost where he has sent you. God will give it to you. Just believe it. Amen. Open up them flues of the soul, body, senses, conscience, and let God's word penetrate first. Take that mind. Okay? There is the battleground. Not say, "Well, if I could feel it, if I'd feel the glory of God falling, oh, that's nothing to do with it. Not a thing." But that is the glory of God. I mean, that is part of it. That is actually God. Okay? He's not saying that wasn't God doing that. The anointings and all those things. I love that. I spend time, like I said a while ago, every night, part of what I do when I drive the truck is praise and worship God, and I feel his presence come so near, I feel like I need to jump out of the truck. You know, I just don't feel like I'm deserve to be anywhere near him. But that's part of it, but that's not my new birth. See, that's not my new birth. That's part of my experience, but that's not my new birth. Open that mind up. That's the battleground. There's where the battle sets in array. Right here in the front line, your mind. Open it up and say, "Every doubt, I doubt my doubts. Amen. I'm doubting my doubts. I believe in God's word. Here I come," Satan. Something's going to take place then. Now, Matthew 7, these are scriptures y'all are real familiar with. I'm sure I don't need to. I'm just going to run through these. "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receive. And he that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened." We're knocking at the door whenever we're praying and reading our Bible and listening to sermons. That's us knocking at the door. And, you know, Matthew 6:33 is what this is all based on. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you." So, next slide. I'm just going to take those 6 things that I mentioned earlier and just show y'all a quick scripture for each of these. A couple of quotes and scriptures on these. Read the Bible. 2 Timothy 2, "Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And then pray. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 Timothy 2. "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting." Brother Branham said in the prophet Elisha, "You don't watch, you let down your prayer life." You say, "Well, I'm a Christian." That's all the more sign you ought to pray more than ever. Read the Bible every day. Pray every day. Don't make any decision too harshly or too quickly without first considering God about it. I used to like this radio program I listened to years ago, and there was a radio announcer, I guess you could call him, on there, that his voice stuck with me over all the years. It echoes through my mind every once in a while. He says, "We all need our daily dose of the Word of God." Does anybody know who that was? Brother Luis. on the Eagle Cry Radio. Me and Gabby used to listen to that. It's echoed all these years through my mind. We all need our daily dose of the Word of God. I just think on that because I saw Brother Luis back there. But that's so true. It rings true. And I'll always remember that. Listen to and read the sermons. That's the next slide. Yeah, Romans 10. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Come to church and fellowship, Hebrews 10. And let us consider one another, provoke unto love and to good works. You know, iron sharpens iron. You know, we need one another in fellowship constantly to kind of push each other and kind of encourage one another in the Lord. Not forsaking the assembling ourselves together, as a manner some is, exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Okay. Making sure I'm not getting over on my time. Meditate. Philippians 4. This is really my favorite scripture. Be careful. And if you look up what that means in the original Greek, be careful. Careful means anxious, okay? Anxiety. We push out the anxiety. That's one of those logs that gets in a river. Right before Paul talks about this, what I call the meditation scripture, this is our format for meditation. Think on these things. And all the things in red there, true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, if there be any praise, and think on these things. He tells us, basically, get this log out of the way before you can do this. Before you can meditate on these things, get that anxious log out of the way, out of your river, because it'll stop up the flow every time. Don't be so anxious, no anxiety, just no fear, just push all that out of the way, and then you just sit and relax and just meditate on the things you've heard. Worship. Ephesians 5. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for the things unto God and to Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Colossians 3. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And then Psalm 22, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. One thing about it, if you want God to come around you, you start praising him. And he'll come inhabit your praises. He still does that. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. And I don't know if I'm going to go all the way through this one or not. What happened in the prefigure? Now, he opened Adam's side and took part of his flesh, which was Adam, to make Eve. The bride has to be the Word, for he is the Word. She cannot stand on creed. She cannot stand on denomination. She can't stand on good behavior. She has to stand alone on the Word. She is a part of it. She was taken from Christ. Here's the part I want to get to, that highlighted part. Outside of that, you're lost. Don't care how good you are or what your relationship or what your fellowship is, your organization. You're lost outside of that Word being in you. If you abide in me and my Word in you, that's what you will and be given, because you are the Word are the same. You and the Word are the same. Next slide. Okay. All right, go on to the next slide. This one's, everybody's familiar with the story of Titanic. I'm just going to tell a couple little stories for illustration. So I can't find where he said this, but I know I've heard it on a documentary once upon a time. So I'm going to just paraphrase it. Before the Titanic set sail, y'all know that this man, this Captain Smith, was a very... He had a long career of sailing in ships, you know. And I think practically no accidents to speak of. And I think he was quoted as saying something like, basically, my career's been uneventful. I haven't had any major, no sinkings, no wrecks or anything. So in his mind, you know, he had to be built up in pride and a little bit haughty. It sounded like the way he made these comments. And he expected this last of his voyages, I think it was supposed to be the one he was going to retire on. And he expected it to be no different, you know, just like all the rest, it's just flawless. And not to mention all the pride surrounding that whole entire voyage. Everybody talking about that ship being the unsinkable Titanic. And then look what it did. Went out there to sea and sunk and killed 1,500 people, I think. So the point is, pride goes before a fall. Complacency is a killer. He was going out there to the sea with this mentality that everything's going to be just the same as it was before. And me as a truck driver, I've driven well over 1 million miles over the last 14 years. And every night I still bow my head and pray and say, Lord, give me trials and mercies and help me to concentrate and pay close attention to where I'm going and what I'm doing. And then I'm very thoughtful and careful and prayerful the whole night driving, because I don't care how many trips I've had without incident or accident. You know, this could be the next one. The very next trip could be the one where I kill somebody with that tractor trailer. Same thing with flying planes. You're never really done. I heard a pilot say this one time, I don't care how many hundreds of hours you've got of safe flying, this next flight could be your fatal flight. You could make a wrong mistake and crash in your plane. Is there another flight after that? No, that's it. I'm not done, though. Just have a story. Some of y'all know my dad passed away this time last year, and I want to tell y'all quickly about him. That early on in his life, first of all, he went to Columbia Bible College in South Carolina. That's where he and my mom met. And he was a real godly man, really seeking God, and really loved the Lord. He played all these instruments, and he used his talent for the Lord. And one of the things he did that was so striking to me, this just goes to show you how close he was to God at one time, that he would take his guitar out in the woods at that college campus, and he would sing and play to the Lord. And he wanted God's guidance on who to marry, and he had two women in mind. One of them was my mom, and then some other woman. He had them wrote down on like a notepad, and went out there to the woods to praise and worship the Lord, just him and a guitar. Set that notepad down, and he said, "Now, Lord, show me which one you want me to marry." And the name that one of them was my mom, Deborah McCarthy. And after a little while of him praising the Lord, then the sun shone down through the trees and lit on that name, Deborah McCarthy. And here I am. Well, years passed. My mom and dad, they always raise us up to serve the Lord, go to church. We read the Bible as a family. We prayed together. Church every Sunday is, you know, in the Baptist church. And when I was about 15, I went to my own Baptist church. My sister went to hers, and my mom kept going to church, but Dad stopped going. Maybe he missed one Sunday, then two, then three, and he finally became complacent, and he just said, "I'm just not going to go," and he quit going to church. Well, over the next 20 years or so of his life, I watched everything just fall apart. His prayer life, spiritually, emotionally, relationally, physically, financially, and every other way. And at the end of his life, I was worried about his salvation, and I went to him and talked with him. My sister talked with him, my brother-in-law. We all went in our own different ways, and Dad called us together for a meeting, and he wanted to know. He said, "What do y'all think of me spiritually now?" He basically came right out and wanted to know about his spiritual condition. He said, "Do y'all think I'm Job?" And I said, "Dad, I'm going to be real blunt. Job was a righteous man. He was being tested. God allowed him to be tested because he was a righteous man. You've got away from the Lord." And I don't know after that exactly where that went with him, and that was between him and the Lord. And I pray and hope that God got a hold of him there, because October 25th, my birthday last year, he sent me a message, and it was the last time. And I think it was a text, and I didn't get back to him in time. And from there on out, he was incoherent, and he passed away. It was November 7th, I believe, he passed away. But, you know, his whole life, everybody's life tells a story. You know, everyone in the Bible, the kings, you know, there's some that say this king was good, and Kings and Chronicles, this one was good, and things went well. He prospered, lived long, and God blessed him. And this one king came, and he was an evil king, and he died not being desired, and he was stricken with an incurable disease and all those type of things. If you will just keep seeking God, never become complacent. You know, God will continue to pour out his blessings on you, but just never stop. Never think you know enough, and you've, like Brother Wade said recently, got enough tenure in the message. You've been here long enough that you just can sit back and relax. If you got breath in your lungs, and you still got time, you still need to seek God more. Never stop seeking God. And I guess I'll make one more closing comment. This occurred to me recently. I've been thinking about this a lot. I started reading my Bible every day when I was 15 in the Baptist church. I never missed a day of it in the last almost 22 years. Tomorrow makes 22 years or so since I started that. It's no wonder that though I was struggling early in my Christian journey with pornography and profanity, it's ironic really to think about this, but the law of God called sanctification had already started working in me. Because at age 15, I started reading my Bible every day. And about 6 months later, I overcame pornography. About a year later, I overcame profanity. My last bad word left my mouth. And there's not been a relapse in over 20 years. That's supernatural. It's not suppressing. That wasn't me suppressing it. I have no more desire to do any of those things, not a bit. And it just goes to show you, if you just follow this simple law of God, I don't look down on anyone for, you know, pornography, profanity, smoking, drinking, cussing, or anything. But if you find those things in your life, I guarantee it, if you'll just read the Bible and pray every day, never stop that, eventually those things will go away. You keep resisting the devil, he'll flee. But just keep this, maintain this. If you forget everything else, maintain Christ. Brother Branham said, whether I maintain my car, my house, my marriage, or whatever, let me maintain Christ. And that's going to be it. Musicians come. God bless you all.